What a joy it is to see so many faces that go back. For these guys, the Scales, how long? 40 plus years from Western Australia. And look at, beg your pardon?
When you first came out.
Oh dear, that's in 1966. It was like, Cole Westwood, see a familiar face. Lovely to have you today, and it's good to make connections.
These introducing to you to Mr. Graham Circle.
This is Basil Wood, all the way from somewhere, Salisbury days.
We go back a long way. That's why,
when you do get a little bit older, you need a name tag, don't you?
Yes.
Just to remind you who you are. Should have the address on the back too, just in case you forget. Is that right? And David Ford from our local area at Wynnum. So I could go on and on, just looking at the faces here. So good. Have you had a good time so far? Good food? Amazing. Well, today we're going to talk on the subject of retired to become refired. So we're going to get this sorted here. We've got these two guys sorting it out.
Where's the other one going to?
Over here. So a little bit of intro. I've got my lovely wife, Andrea. Say hello, Andrea.
Hello.
She is the most beautiful girl in the world. Anybody want to dispute that? Anybody? Is there a few okay, all right, okay. Is your wife 10 out of 10? Okay, if you didn't say that, yes, you'd be in big trouble over the back here, yeah. No 5 out of 10s. We'll have some counselling to go on. Is that Margaret? Oh, Noel and Margaret. My, I can't believe it. This is like a trip down memory lane. So lovely to see you. We do have a few things here. There we are, ladies. You've got the best seat in the house. Margaret and Noel. Did you get one, Heather?
No.
Okay, can you, back to Margaret and Noel there. Just pass them back now. So today we're really looking at how God can use us in our retirement years because God hasn't finished with you yet, hey? Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
There's still many more years, we pray. We don't know how long. And, if we get this going, it'll be beautiful, won't it? We need a miracle. Is that right? So, oh, yes, come on. So a little bit of background to our story, to Andrea and I. I met Andrea in Papua New Guinea in 1973. And so there you are. So I worked up there as an aircraft engineer. That was my career path at the time. And Andrea's family were there in Port Moresby. And Andrea's father actually translated the Bible into Hiri-Motu as a volunteer, not a full-time person, but did that over 30 years, honey, was it? 30 years, an incredible work with Bible Society. And then I fell in love with Andrea, and we were married in 1978. And we've got 7 adult children, and they're all married. How about that? Bit of a miracle happened this year. My youngest son, who was friendly with a girl for 7 years. And I said, mate, I've got the suit. What's going on? And that was in January, but we had the most wonderful wedding this year and we've just had our 22nd grandchild.
Wow.
So now you wonder why I got grey hair? Look at Andrea. She looks so young. It's amazing. But we're loving being grandparents. So I think half the joy is you can always
send them home.
Hand them back when it's a little bit on the nose. You know what it's like. So wonderful. So glad to have these guys looking after us. So I've been involved. God called me into full-time work. That is, we're all full-time. Doesn't matter where you are, whether you work for the bank or a teacher or whatever. But the Lord called me because a friend of mine was killed in 1975. I was riding my high-powered 125 Yammy home from church on a weekday night and I felt very strongly urged to go into this restaurant. And there were two pilots having a meal, so I was an engineer. They were pilots, one I knew, the other guy I didn't know at all. So when I came in through the door, it was quite unexpected. They waved to me one of them, Bruce, the guy who flew for us, and he invited me to share the meal with them. So I sat down And he said, "You're different, Graham, aren't you?" I said, "Am I?" He said, "You're very different. You seem to be a happy bloke, but you don't get drunk, and you seem to be, yeah, a joyful person. What's going on? What are you on?" And so I explained to him that, you know, that my relationship with God and knowing Jesus as my Savior and Lord. Yeah, we're doing all right?
Is this the right
one? That's the one. No, it's actually the wrong one.
All right. It's actually, can you turn
it's,
that?
It's a mount. It's Mount Tam.
Yeah, but that's just a shortcut. The is the real thing on there.
Okay.
So turn that on if you would mind.
All right. Okay. So.
Who's into shortcuts? Yeah, there we are. So we'll get this sorted. So as a result of that, my that evening was a life-changing moment for me when I shared my faith with those two guys. And I thought they worked me over for 2 hours. You know, they've just asked me so many questions. And I got to the end of the conversation. I said, "Well, now I'm going to turn on you. What are you going to do with Jesus, Bruce?" He was a Qantas cadet flying for us. And he said, "I'll think about that. You know, if I saw an angel, I'd believe." The other guy, his name was Paul. I said, "About you, Paul?" He said, "Graham, I'm all set to go in Australian Airlines, Qantas. I've got everything going for me." He said, "I'll think about God when I retire." And I said, "It doesn't work like that, mate. You know, you just might die tomorrow. God is not like a switch. You know, you can say, come at my convenience." And he said, "Well, that's my call. 65 and I'll give it some thought." I said, "Paul, you could die tomorrow." Do you know what he said? He said, "I'll take a gamble on that." And what a call. And I said, "Paul, you know, flying in Papua New Guinea was very challenging." So anyway, as it, you know, he stood up behind the chair. It's one of those moments. And he said, "I've got to go flying tomorrow." And I just remember, this is a long time ago now, 75. Hey, it's a long time. And I said, "Paul, if you ever are in trouble, call on the name of Jesus and he will save you." We left the restaurant, but 2 weeks later, it was have a profound impact upon me. As I went on a Saturday morning, it's about the month of October 1975, to complete a major inspection to flight test on the Monday. So we rebuilt the machine, and so we're going to flight test on the Monday. My boss ran into the hangar. He said, "Graham, something terrible's happened on an airplane. It's not returned. We've got to go searching. Can you get our machines fueled up and ready to go?" So I said, "Sure." Did that real quick. I went back to my job, and I was just working away there. He meandered across the hangar floor probably about an hour later. He said, "Do you know a guy called Paul Johnson?" I said, "Oh, yeah, sure. I was having coffee and with him the other night." He said, "Graham, Paul Johnson has just been killed." You know, I stood there in front of that airplane. The airplanes are my life. Anybody into aviation here? Anybody in the room? It's like a disease. You know, I just got hooked on the benzene. But it just gets in your system. And I stood in front of that machine. And I said, "Lord Jesus Christ, I don't want to work on airplanes anymore. You can always replace a machine, but you can never replace human life. And that's why I'm here today." As a long time ago, a long story, I won't go into it. We're trying to get this sorted here with this, because I have a video to show. But from the following year, I went to theological college, to the Baptist College, and trained there to be an evangelist. That's been my passion from day one, when the Lord touched my life in 73 and asked me to surrender to him, to let him be the king of my life. I really, you know, had a lot of problems in my teenage years, so I didn't understand what was going on, but I was a 50 percenter. And on that night, when I first arrived in Moresby, the Lord said, it spoke into my heart at a particular Bible study, and said, "Graham, I can't use you because I don't own you. If you give me ownership, I'll do a miracle. What you've been reading, the Acts of the Apostles, Graham, I'll make it reality for you." So that night I died. I totally died. Died to Graham Circum, a bit like George Mueller. Remember George Mueller? When asked the occasion, "Now, why have you been so successful, Mr. Mueller?" And he said, "There was a day when I died." And he bent over and he kept talking and talking until his face was almost on the ground. And that's the paradox, and it is of the gospel, that we've got to die to live. And I've found that to be an unbelievable revelation. That if I, you know, it's what the apostle Paul said, you know, that I might know him and the power of his resurrection, but we have fellowship with his sufferings and become like him in his death. We've got to die before we can live. And so that was the life-changing moment for me. It's a bit slow, my computer. So that's a little bit of background. So very glad to be here. A lot of water's gone under the bridge, and I look around the room and I see lots of faces from different spaces and times. But the title of my opening slide was Welcome to the Elective, Retired to be Refired. Make the rest of your life the best of your life. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
It's nice growing old, isn't it? Well, not so much with all the aches and pains. But the report this week from about Aussies and aging, we're now ranking the third highest in the world for longevity. The Australian Bureau of Statistics says that your life expectancy, if you're a lady, is 85.4 years. If you're a bloke, 81.3. Why is it that women live longer? I wonder. You're looked after. It's a beautiful comment. That's worth a red rose. Okay. But how do you know that you're growing old? One lady said, I'm at an age where my back goes out more than I do. That's how you know. Is it like that for you? You wake up in the morning. Another older bloke said, I used to be able to run a mile in 4 minutes, bench press 380 pounds and tell the truth. So anyway, I'll leave that with you. Mark Twain, you all know him, but he said, when your friends flatter you on how young you look, it's a sure sign you're getting old. So, you're all looking great today. Is that good? Oh, it's amazing to get those little things that you have to use, you know, one with the trigger, pick things up. Yeah. But there's some great examples in the Bible of those who kind of were at their prime later in life. You know, Moses was 80 when he was called to lead 1.6 million people out of Egypt. That's pretty amazing, hey? Joshua was 80 and he was called to lead the people into the land of Canaan. Caleb was 84 and he said, give me this mountain. Come on. Anna was 84 and she never left the temple worshipping, fasting and praying, waiting for the Messiah. Elizabeth, also elderly, advanced in years, gave birth to John the Baptist. So great stories of God using older people. My dad was 88 when he passed away. He was a missionary pastor in Aboriginal tribal group called the Wangai tribe in WA, where these guys are from. And mum and dad served the Lord for 50 years over there. Andrea's parents, similar. Was mum teaching RE and mum both teaching RE at what age? In their 80s, honey? 82 when she sort of felt it was time to hang up the boots. But retirement is not a biblical concept. It's a cultural concept. If the Lord gives you breath, it's because he still has work for you to do. Can I hear an amen on that one? Our goal should be to finish life well for God's glory and die with your boots on. Now, it will be a wonderful thing to do just to sort of step from this life into the next. If you've got your Bibles with you, do you bring Bibles to a Christian camp? If you have an electronic one, I'm amazed at how older people just know their way around the gadgets. But here we've got Basil and Chris trying to work it all out here. Turn to Psalm 92, verses 12 to 15, the most beautiful. This is what I've adopted. I just turned 70 in January, so I'm still in my, it's still a birthday, you know. Can I tell you a secret? My kids and my family arranged for me to go flying in an American Mustang. Now, if you remember the Spitfires and the Mustangs, so the Americans, it was the equivalent to a Spitfire. And so we went out to Archer Field and I had 30 minutes doing aerobatics in that aeroplane. And Andrea cried when I left. She thought I wasn't going to come back. But it was the most beautiful thing and a great gift. And I don't know, I felt like I was very spoiled. Hey, what a blessing to have kids that bless you that way, and brothers and sisters. Here we go, Psalm 92. and verse 12. The righteous will flourish like a palm tree. They will grow like a cedar of Lebanon. Planted in the house of the Lord, they will flourish in the courts of our God. They will still bear fruit in old age. Can I hear an amen? That's a good line. And they will stay fresh and green, not grumpy and crusty. Yeah. Sometimes people grow old and they look like they've been baptized in lemon juice. And, as a good friend of mine said, you look like you've been weaned on a pickle, mate. Come on. But we proclaim the Lord is upright. He is my rock and there is no wickedness in him. Isn't that beautiful to grow old, fresh and green and to look fresh and green, even though we might have a few wrinkles? But verse 14 says, still bear fruit in their old age. I pray that will be true for you. But I want you to know, the preface to this is about the righteous. You know, those who are righteous, that is doing right in a wrong world. So we practice righteousness. The Bible says, you know what Jesus said in Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Just keep doing right all the time. Don't do wrong. And growing old, I said to an old man, Mr. Leonard Buck, what a wonderful man of God Leonard Buck was. Some of you know Leonard Buck. What a wonderful man of God. Do you know what he said in his 80s? I said to him, oh, Mr. Buck, does it get easier when you get older? He said, Graham, I'm a big fish now. If the devil gets me now, it'll be a waste of my life. Oh, Graham, it doesn't get any older. It actually gets harder. I said, Mr. Buck, I didn't want you to tell me that. I thought I could slide into heaven, you know, and just have a good time. So Psalm 92, can I leave that with you as a beautiful expression of what God wants to do with us in our old age, to be sweet. Is that the right word? Sweet. For ladies, I think it's probably a good word. For us blokes, I don't know what it is. Anyway, masculine. Well, I was going to have on the screen here a list of volunteer ministry opportunities. Many of you are already involved in lots of things, aren't you? You're here because you want to refire. But there's prison ministry, prison chaplaincy. Anybody a prison chaplain in the room? Hospitality. Yes, you are, Hillary? Retired. Have a yarn with Hillary if you want to know more about that. Hospital chaplaincy. Anybody involved in hospitals, volunteering hospitals, visiting the sick? Okay, all right, there's a job for you. Thank you so much, Chris and Basil. Big hand for these guys. Okay, so I can't get that word out. Anyway, whatever it is, mobile mission maintenance. What a blessing that crew is. Have you heard of them?
Yes.
Oh, my, they blessed Andrea and I because we've been faith missionaries for so long. How do you like that? And when you look around the room and see who looks like the girls there, can you look off to one side, Heather? Can you see yourself? Hello. I think this could be Heather over here in the chair.
Okay. To advance, hit the right arrow.
I'm always into advancing. No, I can do that. Okay. So beautiful photo. Just thought you'd say retired to be refired, make the rest of your life the best of your life. Just drifting through. I thought I met this gentleman in the room. Anyway, it's just let's keep moving. That isn't that a beautiful photograph? That was the righteous will flourish and grow, flourish, bear fruit, stay fresh and green. And this is beautiful here, folks. We're all going to keep proclaiming, aren't we? Amen. We're not going to stay silent. We're going to proclaim all together.
The Lord is upright. He is my rock. And there's no wickedness in him.
That's what we're going to keep talking about. No one's going to stop us, are they? We just keep talking about the Lord. So here's the list of things here that you can do. Prison chaplaincy, hospital. I can't even say that word. MMM, Mobile Mission Prayer Ministry. My, the power of prayer in the closet. Have any of you seen the movie called The War Room?
Yes.
Oh, how powerful is that? When you get in this, in that little room, that little closet, and you start going hard in prayer. Once you get on grandma's prayer list, you're done. Just give up. Pastoral care visitation, what a ministry that is, folks. Just to get around and visit some folk. And young people love older people, well, sometimes, mostly, because they see us perhaps as a bit of snow on the roof gives us a bit of wisdom. Kids Hope in School, school chaplaincy support, modelling and merit mentoring grandchildren and youth. Who can tick that one? Oh, that's what I'm, Andrew and I want to do that now, just hang out with those 22 grandchildren and just bless them and do things with them. We feel very protective actually around our kids because we live in a wild old world where boys don't know that they're boys and girls don't know that they're girls. And it's crazy what's gone on since we passed that terrible law. I might get in trouble for saying that, but that's just, okay, come on. That's what I like to hear. And there's a great website here called Mission Seek website, missionseek.com. My wife is a passionate RE teacher. She teaches in two schools, and there's a few other little voices here. Come on, honey, give a good old serve. Rev this mob up. Thank you. Come
on. Oh, dear me. Yeah. Oh, well, who does RI teaching here? There's a few maybe who have taught in the past. I think in the past we've had RI teachers. Wonderful. And we've got Connie here too, who's very active in the whole field of RI. Well, for me, teaching RI is a growing joy. And it's also a growing conviction that it's a much needed ministry today. We have an open door right now in Queensland. Amazing. And this is for our public schools. This open door means that we can go in and sow those seeds of truth and the good news of Jesus. In Luke chapter 18, we read that the people were rebuked by the disciples for bringing their children to Jesus. But Jesus called the children to him and said in verse 16, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these." Children are precious. They're so precious. But wow, what a challenge it is for so many of our children, our little ones today. Many come from broken homes, instability, disorder. There is so much going on out there that is hard for our little ones. We are only too aware of the secular world that we live in today. And a whole generation has passed, probably even more so, since the majority of our children went to Sunday schools. For many years, I taught grade ones. Not this year, but the very first lesson I had in one of my classes for the year, I was sitting down and the teacher was gathering the children to sit at my feet. And as she did, she said to the little children, "Mrs. Sercombe has come to teach you about God and about Jesus this year." And immediately one little girl looked shocked and she said in a big voice, "Jesus? My mother says Jesus when she's angry with me." And this is the second time I've heard about Jesus. Yeah, and that's kind of the nature of where we are. And very few know anything when we start off in the grade one class. Yeah, I started about 19 or 20 years ago. And it was suggested that I consider teaching RI, I was very, very nervous. My background definitely wasn't teaching. But as I stepped out and began the journey, my confidence grew and I could see what a wonderful opportunity I had to impact these little lives. And also not only the children, but indirectly the teachers and the staff that I was touching. Sometimes I have up to three teachers or staff in the room when I do my lessons. So over the years, some of those teachers have become my friends, and I've been out, they've even asked me for prayer for different needs with their families. Yeah. At the moment, I'm teaching grade twos, grade fives, and grade sixes in two of the local schools in the area where I live. Yeah. Introducing these children to God is a great privilege. As I said, when they first start, generally, mostly, our children know very little about God, about creation, about his love, about sin, and the amazing Bible stories that we have to share. And it's such a joy to introduce them. Yeah. The materials that we use in the RI are very Bible-centered, and we are so grateful for this. We have to stay very close to the curriculum that we're given, but it is very good. And maybe this open door that we have will be short-lived. But we pray for the continued open door, how we need to pray for the sake of our children. Yeah. Yeah, the needs are so great, as I mentioned, and most children have no idea of Christmas, Easter, the meaning of these, the Christian faith and values, but their hearts are ready and they're open. Yeah. And it's wonderful to have those opportunities often at the end of a lesson to follow up with questions. Just recently I was doing a walk in my little community and I came in touch. I came in touch with a high school girl. She would have been grade 11 or 12, and she saw me and she called out, "Mrs. Sercombe, Mrs. Sercombe." She came up, we chatted. She said, "You taught me RI when I was a little girl." She said, "My mum and dad don't believe in God, but," she said, "I do, mm-hmm. I do." And we had a really lovely conversation. Mm-hmm. And doing the chaplaincy work that Graham will share means that I have lots of students come through and I get to meet their parents, and we have wonderful opportunities to share. Kay is one of the teachers that I've worked with in her grade six class for quite a few years, and she too is a Catholic lady who I've been able to share a little bit with the Lord. I'd love to take her out for coffee soon. Yeah. So there's a desperate need for RI teachers in the Brisbane area and to reach this generation with the good news. Just Tuesday, this last Tuesday, I had a phone call from Karen Grenning, who is the, she's the coordinator for QCRIN, which is the body that facilitates for RI in Queensland, and they also liaise with the education department. And she rang me and she said, Andrea, the little, the headmaster of the school in May, in Corino, it's called Mayfield, hasn't got RI, and could you help us with RI in the Mayfield school? She said the Buddhists are wanting to come in, and we're hearing of this happening in some of our schools. Yes, we need to pray that God will raise up more teachers, because of pressure from our education system. Cochran has recently brought in a simple training program for all the RI teachers in Queensland. It is made up of 3 modules that are approximately 2 hours in length. They are compulsory, they're informative, and they're very easy to follow. They're very helpful. So you don't have to feel intimidated by them. Yeah. We pray that this will be helpful in keeping favour with the education department when RI is being threatened. Yeah. Someone said to me in my early days of teaching RI, RI is a ministry of presence. And I thought about that. And over the years, I've found that very helpful. How much we need to be full of the Lord when we go into these places, these very secular places. Representing Jesus in all that we are, not just in our teaching, but our actual lives speak volumes to the staff and the children, in our manner, in the way we represent the Lord. And I guess that's true for us all in whatever areas of community work that we do. Yeah. It's Jesus in us that brings blessing, that is a lovely aroma. Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes doing RI, not only do we bring blessing, but we can sometimes bring an opposition too. Like the little girl in one of my classes, my grade one class, who went home singing the choruses about Jesus that we were learning. And as a result of that, the parents pulled her out of my class. That made me really sad. Yeah. But the joys outweigh. A little verse that I read just this morning, I thought was very appropriate, from 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7. The end of all things is near. Therefore, be clear-minded and self-controlled so that you can pray. I thought that was very appropriate. And I'll just close with these two things. Firstly, will you pray? Prayer is the powerhouse. And we're feeling more and more the great need for the prayers of God's people, the church. Yeah. Secondly, maybe you could consider becoming an RI teacher in 2023. Yeah, just so that we can reach the younger generation with the good news, the wonderful news that we have. As the Apostle Paul said, how will they hear unless there is a speaker or a preacher in the passage? And please feel free to come and chat later if you would like. And I know there's Connie and Hugh and perhaps a few others that would be able to talk to too. Thank you.
What a legend. Come on. Hands for Andrea. Thank you, honey. She turns up every session. Hugh Davis, how many years, mate? Too long. It's a long time, Hugh. You've been serving the Lord as not only as a teacher, but also as an RE teacher too. You know, the great challenge for us is to get out of the building. You, on the back of your little flyer there, you'll see this picture. So often we find ourselves very safe inside the church hub. You know, we turn up on Sundays and like Becky Pippert in her book, we've got to get the salt out of the salt shaker. So it's an inside out and outside in, because Jesus said, as the Father has sent me, so I'm sending you. It's a sending, you're going. Sunday is all about Monday, so Sunday is about getting inspired and encouraged. So we go for the 6 days and shine the light in a very dark world. It's a dark world, isn't it? It is so dark, but people are coming to the light, and we need to go to where people are. So we need to develop that intentional presence. Let me just walk you through a little bit, just very briefly now, with a journey of the last 5 years, because much of my ministry life is to go to the streets like Jesus did, and streets and lanes has been my preferred space, to be very honest. Even in the industry, I just love to just be Jesus, somehow let Jesus shine out of me in the workplace. I remember working on an aeroplane, and I couldn't get the bolt in the fuel selector. And I'm on my knees anyway, so I thought it was a good position. And I'm trying to get this bolt in. I got an apprentice with me, a young man with me. And I said, oh, 20 minutes is too long. I'm going to say a prayer. We need God's help right now. And so I just said a short prayer whilst I was on my knees. Dear Heavenly Father, I've got a problem. I can't get the bolt in. Because my mother taught me how to do this. She lost a needle once and said, Heavenly Father, could you help me find the needle? I thought my mother was a God botherer. Why do you bother God with a needle? But she found it, you know, and it was wonderful. So I prayed about this bolt. And when I opened my eyes, put the spanner on and went straight in. This guy went, whoa, that is amazing. And he gave his life to Jesus in the plane. So that was a good one, a little bit of a sign and a wonder there. But we just was praying about 5 years ago at Wynnum Baptist, where I currently am the community pastor there. Came off the road of evangelism and started to anchor in how can we get the church out of the building. And God gave this little concept of LifeBridge Community Chaplaincies. Cut a long story short, we went to management at the Wynnum Plaza, very nervous, I'd have to say, to ask if they would let us come into the building and be a presence there in, at the Wynnum Plaza. And the guy called Shannon, he became my very good friend. He said, Graham, what you're proposing here will not work in retail. I said, could you help me, Shannon? We will shape this and make it work. Is that all right? So for 6 months, he worked with me. We found a training agency called Sports Chaplaincy Australia. We've got a brilliant model of training. And so we put our first batch of chaplains through. Cole Westwood here was a great help in the early days. And so it was a wonderful thing. Davina here, who's one of our chaplains, and Andrea is in the room as well. So we began the journey. And it was 4 years ago on October the 26th, we took our place in the shopping centre. And people just come through. It's like fishing. It's good fun. People come through and we call out, g'day, how are you? You doing all right? That's not hard, is it? Reckon you could do that? Smile, you know, put on your best smile and greet people and love on them. It's amazing what a smile does. In fact, a guy said to me the other day, mate, you'll smile. There's something about it. What do you want? And I said, no, it comes from within. Comes from within, just knowing Jesus. You know, it has been a long time. I was just at my 40th year of ordination, actually. And it was all those years of training. I think in the last five, I've gone through this revolution in myself about the power of Jesus shining through us. You know, it says, the Apostle Paul said, we're being changed from one glory to another. And the shine that we carry, you know, we non-Christians or people who are seekers come to our church, it blows them away. Some have said, Graham, I'd never come, the building would fall in. And I say, oh, we've got good insurance, actually. Just So we're luring them in, and we get them in the door, and one guy just had there sitting in the back. We had communion. He said, "What's this, Graham?" I said, "It's a little communion thing." And that's how we remember Jesus and how he died on the cross for our sin, and he died for you, mate. So I'm whispering. What are they doing up there now, Graham? Oh, that bloke up there is giving the announcements. What are they doing? What are all that mob up there? Oh, they're just the singers, all brand new. And we got to the end. I said, "Mate, if you take the communion, it means you're committing your life to Jesus." And that's exactly what he did. That last Sunday, we had a lady, a nice addict who's come with us, free kids, a break your heart, I tell you. And she, at the end, I was speaking from the front. Said, "If you eat and drink, you're saying, 'I'm committed to you, Lord Jesus, my life is yours.'" She peeled the top off, ate the wafer and drank, giving her life to Jesus. What a joy. Some good stories just as we are there shining for him. There's a lot of power and light, isn't there? And Coral, isn't it? Coral walked up to Andrea over here on the right. She said to Andrea, "I know that I'm dying, I'm just not ready." Do you know what, Billy Graham, when Billy Graham was here in 59, do you know who served Billy Graham breakfast? It was Coral at the Canberra Hotel. Can anybody remember the Canberra back in those days? And so she was a young 16-year-old girl and went up, took this and addressed in a, you know, the, as they did in those days, all the pretty stuff, and brought breakfast to this man in the room called Billy Graham and his good friend, Grady Wilson, was it, Colin? I can't remember now. Grady Wilson, I think it was. Grady. And Billy said to her, "Would you come to the youth rally tonight?" And he gave her, how many pounds, Andrea? A big tip. So there you are. It's another way. Cup of coffee, good insurance, and a good tip. Gets people in. So she came, but that was a long time ago. And two broken marriages later, here she is at the plaza. I'm broken. I'd love to share her story. She's in heaven now. She found Jesus. And she told all her friends and family what a great funeral service that was. Can I tell you a story? Just before she passed, on the day that she passed, 3 hours before she passed, so we discipled her and worked with her. She was lying on her bed in a state of unconsciousness, and I whispered in her ear, I said, "Coral, you're going to see Jesus soon." And her eyebrows moved. I nearly fell over. I said, "Coral, can you do that again?" And that's the only thing that would move is just her eyebrows. I said, "Oh, Coral, just tell everybody in heaven, give them all our greetings, would you?" And it was, 3 hours she was gone and she was in heaven. But what a joy to have a Coral give her life to the Lord. Riley stumbled out of BWS. We were right there, BWS. It was very funny. We had on one side BWS and Sanity on the other side. So we were right in the middle between these two. I felt it was Insanity and, but he stumbled out of BWS, an alcoholic. This is what, 2.5 years ago, I think Riley came. And he walked by 12 times, just walked by, and the Holy Spirit spoke to him and said, "Go and talk to that man." And it was a joy to lead him to Jesus. It hasn't been so. He had a bit of an issue in the early part of this year. He's actually staying with us at the moment because a very big conflict came into his life. And when you have got a problem with alcohol, sometimes that's where you go to get your comfort. Would you pray for Riley? He's doing well. I think he's going to become a chaplain. And in fact, one of our guys who gave his life to Jesus, such a broken bloke, is up on the Sunshine Coast now, Mal Baird. And he gave his life. We baptized him last year, and he's now serving as a chaplain up there. Isn't it good to have the full circle go around? So good, the power of the gospel and being very present. Just what we have just done at Wynnum over the last little bit is run a course called The Power of Presence, which is really an online training for chaplains. So we don't access the sports chaplaincy training anymore. Davina, could you just come out here just a moment? This is sometimes what I do with our chaplains. And Davina, could you just share with the folk here what that course meant to you? I'm really putting you on the spot, aren't I? Come on. You haven't got your black shirt on, but come on. Davina serves down at Kapala Bar. Just what did that course mean to you? Just very briefly, yeah.
Oh, the course was wonderful because it really helps you to realise that you are carrying the presence of Jesus with you. You obviously go out in prayer, but it's just so wonderful.
So I'm going to give you my microphone. Oh. That's right. You talk and I'll hold it.
You hold it.
Yeah.
So it just gives you the realisation of the presence of Jesus that you're carrying with you all the time and the light. And when you're on the stand at chaplaincy, you just know that it's happening because of the people literally stop and start talking to you. And that course is so good. It is so good.
Thanks, Davina. Yeah. Little hand for Davina just on the spur of the moment. It's getting called out. It is such a fun. You can do that course. There's 18 modules, very short. We did it as a whole church. So some of these comments here, Davina's up there. The online course cemented some knowledge I had and expanded on other areas to help. Shirley said, instead of being filled with fear, I'm now filled with expectation as to how Jesus wants to present himself and make himself known to people. It is the most brilliant course, life transforming, just to be very present, to be filled up with Jesus and let him shine and, engaging with people. I want to give you close out just with three principles of effective community transformation. There's three principles that have been very special to us, and that is the power of being present. Andrea mentioned that at RI. We have seen the power of presence. I reckon the devil wants to shut us down to convince us that we're no different than anybody else. But the light that's in us, which is the Lord Jesus Christ himself, is very powerful. Let me read this to you. If you are the light of the world, a town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp, but put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let's read this all together.
Let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven.
It's extremely powerful, the power of presence. Light itself is extremely powerful. I mean, I've got a mobile phone thing here, and if I find the right app, is it going to work? Yeah, is it? No, it's not. Oh, well, there you are. It's a good try. I'm not very good at this stuff. But that one light in a dark room can make a big difference. And as we watch people walk by, we just call out, how you doing? Are you okay? Davina had a lady walk up to her about, 6 weeks ago, Davina? Her son had committed suicide the night before, walked straight up to Davina. Do you know what she wanted to do? Exactly the same. She wanted to end her life. But because of that conversation, that lady is now attending the Salvation Army down at Alex Hills. It's just being there like a life. Some of you may have been involved in life-saving stuff on the beach. It's just like that. And people come and go. We're just there to be a light shining for Jesus. The power of being present in your community, where you are, just taking Jesus into those spaces, allowing the Holy Spirit to fill you up so your skin is filled up with Jesus. What a beautiful thing to have him present and president, to fill up your face, your eyes, carry a lot of power. When you look at someone, the eyes are the window to the soul. So you look at people, you can peer right into their soul. It's very, very powerful. Wonderful story. The second thing, let me just drop in just a little bit about Keith. So about presence. So Keith was the first guy I met at the Plaza back 4 years ago. And he was a boxer. He's 90 years of age here. He's a real larrikin and he stirred me up all the time. He'd ask me all difficult questions like, how did Noah get all the animals in the ark, Graham? You know, really important questions like that. So we would have a blast and I'd have so much fun with him. He'd always come to me at the desk and he'd have something on, but he became my friend over two and a half years. He would always come. And one day he came to me and he said, Graham, I've got all these lumps on my arm. I said, oh, Keith, well, what is it? He said, I'm not sure, but I'm very suspicious. I think it might be cancer. So he went off and he got it checked, and sure enough, it was cancer. And I said to him, I said, well, Keith, we're going to have to talk about your destination, aren't we? He said, what do you mean? I said, well, you know, if you're going to go to Long Reach, you go to Long Reach. If you go to Mount Isa, you go to Mount Isa. Where are you going? He said, I'm going down. I said, don't say that, Keith. Do you think you could tip your eyes up a bit, mate? He's an atheist, a whole family of atheists. I said, do you think you could lift your eyes a little bit, you know? And over that three-month period, you know, he began to lift his eyes. Even Larie, his daughter, when I was talking to Keith and he was sparring with me a little bit, and she said to him, Dad, you need to listen to Graham because you're nearing the end, mate. And so I had that relationship that came out of presence. And then the day came when he passed. And as Larie called me, she said, Graham, just before Keith passed, he asked me to ask you to take the funeral. What a funeral. A room full of all these folk, atheists and agnostics. Isn't it good to hang out with that mob and just shine some light? And I told them the story about his destination, about sorting it out. I don't know what happened in the end, but we were there just pointing him to Jesus. Lift your eyes, Keith. God loves you, mate. He wants you to go to heaven, but you can't get there by living a good life. I pray that I'll see him in heaven. He's my good mate that's gone. Another principle of effective community transformation, not just presence, that's extremely powerful, but also a compassionate heart. Can we read this together? Can you see the writing? It's a bit hard, isn't it? All together.
When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd.
Do you reckon that's true? Modern culture, they are harassed. Absolutely harassed. The devil is on their case, grinding people down like Pharaoh did with the children of Israel. And so when we look at people, we feel deeply about compassion. We are compassionate and we can see them as they really are. And you can see people. I don't know if you see people, but when you see people, they go into your heart and your heart is filled with compassion. And having a compassionate, caring heart will get you over the line. Australians respond to you giving them time by being present, but also showing altogether compassion. Compassion. And Jesus saw all that mob, lost sheep, and our community is lost. And they need a shepherd. They need you. We need to be there. Our little table is about this big. We're just uniformed and wave and hello, how are you? We've given away 18,000 balloons. It's our little calling card for the children. A wonderful little tool that God can use. So compassionate heart. And the final thing as we close up is the power of sensitive conversation. You are present, you show compassion, and you invite, you just do the conversation. How are you? I often say, hey, are you a person of faith? Have you considered God at all? The scripture here says, altogether, let your speech always be with grace, and so seasoned with salt, so that you will know how you should respond to each person.
It's that sensitive conversation that Jesus had with the woman at the well. How amazing to move from, could you give me a drink of water, to I who speak to you, and he. One of the great revivals in the New Testament happened right in Sychar through a woman who had five failed marriages and living with a bloke as well. We are seeing that happen right now. Oh, how good it is to bring good news to a world full of bad news. and you and I have it. We are present, we show compassion, we sensitive conversation, no judgment. These are broken people, harassed by the devil, helpless. They're looking for direction from a shepherd who will say, I know Jesus, you know. Someone has described evangelism as one beggar telling another beggar where to get some bread. How good is that? Oh, I must finish. Thanks for all your help, Bevan and Chris. I love this little story. A businessman who was incredibly successful, deal with millions of dollars all the while, but he went through a really difficult time in his life and his business, actually. I don't know if he was a Christian. I don't know the background story, but he decided to have a one-night retreat. So he went to a coastal village or coastal town and to book into a motel and just have some time out to reflect. And he went all night long. A massive storm just raged against the coast, and it was almost symbolic of the world that he was in. Got up early and the sun was rising, and he went out down to the beach, and he saw all of these starfish, millions of them. It was huge, washed up on the shore overnight. And he was just fascinated with all this stuff. And up the way in distance, he saw this someone bending over continuously. He wondered what's going on there. And he walked up, and it was a young man in his early teens. And he said, young man, what are you doing? He said, I'm throwing the starfish back in the ocean. He said, what? There's millions of them. What difference do you think you could make? And this wise young man picked up one starfish and he threw it into the ocean, and he said it made a difference to that one. It made a difference to that one. He said, oh, Brother Graham, I've been witnessing to my neighbour for 40 years. You can make a difference one at a time. Leave the results with God. Just be present. Show compassion and be sensitive in your speech. May God bless you. We're going to finish with a prayer. We'll get the technical stuff going this time. You got the little flyer there. If you want to know anything about LifeBridge, because it's kind of growing, it's starting up in Toowoomba. At the Range Plaza. So we've got three centres now, and Sunnybank Baptist have just wanted to get going there, and we just want to see this spread across the nation, getting God's people out of the building, can I hear an amen, amen, into the streets and letting the light shine. Let me pray. Father, thank you for this beautiful group of people. I've seen people today that I haven't seen for years. My heaven's going to be great, because there won't be any goodbyes. But thank you for this camp, and thank you for all that you're doing. Just take us on with you, Lord. We want to take many people to heaven. We want to put our arms around broken people and show them the way to the cross. Lord, would you anoint us with your Spirit? Thank you for Andrea's passion about RE. Would you raise up more teachers? Yes, Lord, more chaplains, more people just to shine. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. So good to have you. Thanks, Basil.
Thank you so much. What great stories.